Yeah, before House Bill 161, we have a proposed committee substitute to adopt. Senator Parnell.
Chairman, I would move version H, Cook 42799, Senate CS for House Bill Number 161. By way of explanation, the only change in this draft is that, begins at line 8, says, "In making the pro-rata reductions required by this paragraph, the agency may not consider any potential supplemental appropriation until the appropriation has been enacted." That's language similar to language we adopted in...
PCE.
In the PCE bill, Mr. Chairman. That's the only change in version H.
Is there objection to adopting version H? Hearing none, version H is our work draft before us. We do have an amendment number 1. Senator Parnell.
Mr. Chairman, before I move the amendment, the amendment was drafted in the original version. The only change necessary is, the amendment is to page 1, line 11, not line 9. And so with that technical change, I would move amendment number 1. What amendment number 1 does is exempt subsidized adoptions from the pro-rata reductions on the bill.
Okay. The amendment number 1 has been moved. Is there discussion on amendment number 1? Is there objection to the adoption of amendment number 1?
For the street. Adoption, subsidized adoption.
Pardon me?
We're looking for any shred of humor at this time of night, Mr. Chairman.
I can't hear him, so I can't laugh with you. Okay, hearing no objection, amendment number 1 has been adopted. That brings back before us the bill. Discussion on the bill as amended.
Anybody signed up to testify? Anybody like to?
I have no one signed up to testify. Does anybody want to testify on this bill? Hi, come on up.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Commissioner Karen Fadu, Health and Social Services. I learned about the bill coming up just a couple of hours ago, and I wanted to come and restate some of the issues that I see on the CS that I don't think were addressed when I addressed the committee last time about that. I said the bill basically applies, as I read it, to adult public assistance. The adult public assistance program this last year supplemented Social Security payments for about 13,000 poor elderly and disabled Alaskans. The payment for adult public assistance is around $321 a month. And in 1982, when the legislature enacted the adult public assistance statute, they did so because I believe they determined that persons could not live on Social Security alone if they had not paid and had an active work history. So who we generally find on adult public assistance are people with disabilities who have been determined disabled and cannot work, and also seniors who are poor who did not have a lot of earnings, a lot of quarters paid into adult public assistance, such as, or into Social Security, such as homemakers. We believe that this bill, if it takes effect this year, will require us to prorate the payment in adult public assistance anywhere from $120 for the year or up. And we believe that the statutory protection that's in the adult public assistance statute is the place that the legislature should go to look at this program as opposed to applying a prorate appropriation. In the last 10 years, the adult public assistance program has exceeded its appropriation 10 of the last 11 years. Not all of those years we've needed a supplemental. Some of them we've been able to cover the appropriation in the department. But we believe that this language would probably require us to prorate the program anyway. Again, we have a lot of lack of clarity as to what else this program applies to. Does it apply to foster care? Alaska Temporary Assistance Program. Right now, we are at our maintenance of effort, and if we prorate the Alaska Temporary Assistance Program, we will have to pay serious federal penalties, and there's no provision in this law for avoiding federal penalties, even when it doesn't make sense. Basically, we think this bill is very bad. We think it's ill-advised. The entitlements that the state has had, the two major entitlement programs, both Alaska Temporary Assistance and the Longevity Bonus, have all returned money to the state in the last several years. They have not been cost generators, they've been cost savers. The Adult Temporary Assistance Program has returned $43 million in benefit payments to the state over the last 3 years. And I don't know what the longevity bonus has returned, but I'm sure someone else will address that issue. So the idea that these entitlement programs, these cash entitlement programs, are costing the state tremendous amounts of money is in actual fact not true. In actual fact, they're contributing money right now to the Treasury.
Well, now that's, Commissioner, what is the appropriation for longevity bonus? $70 million?
I do not know the answer to that.
Well, you're mischaracterizing.
I do know the answer to the question about the ATAP.
What is welfare then? What does that cost?
The Adult Temporary Assistance Program, when I became commissioner, the payments were $120 million.
How many dollars? $200 million? $300 million?
$120 million was the payment for the Alaska Temporary Assistance Program. This year, I believe it will be around $80 million.
And over 3 years, you said it returned $43 million?
That's correct.
Out of $360 paid out. So that's not returning money.
What's the 360, Senator? I'm not clear what you're
Go
talking
ahead.
About.
Go ahead with your testimony.
120 times 3.
I see.
Ms. Jones?
Senator Parnell.
You went across foster care and you talked about that. And how does this change the current law with respect to foster care?
Through the chair, Senator Parnell, it's not clear to me how it changes the law in foster care. And I've had no one address me on the record what it does mean for foster care. It is a formula program, and we typically do have supplemental for our formula program. And foster care we typically have supplemental for.
Don't you currently have a regulation on the books promulgated by the department that says that the department will, in its discretion, reduce rates for foster care on a prorated basis? I mean, so you've already got the rateable reduction in regulation, as I understand it, unless this has been repealed or something. It's 7AAC53030E, and so I'm not sure this changes anything in foster care at all.
So through the chair, Senator, would you say that as we come into supplemental in the foster care program, which is a formula program, that this these provisions would not apply to foster care?
I didn't say that. My point is you've already got a rateable reduction in regulation, and so this is no change in that sense. That's all I'm trying to say.
Through the chair, Senator, I'm sorry. If it does apply, it is a major departure in the way we do business with foster parents, because the only way we have to save money is to cut the payments to the foster parents, because we don't control the number of children that come into our custody.
I'm just saying that's the same. You've got a regulation that says that right now, and maybe that's what we're getting at.
Senator Kelly?
Commissioner, could you go over the federal penalty again? What's causing that?
Yes. The block grant that Congress gave us several years ago said that we had to maintain our state spending at 80% of its 94 level, our general fund spending. We have reached that limit this year with the savings that we have generated from our benefits. And we have reached the limit in terms of the number of savings that we can then transfer to other block grants. So if we prorate, for instance, the payment, and we cut general funds, we incur a substantial federal penalty. No state has violated that maintenance of effort at this time.
And the other question I have was, if that regulation exists, what statute has authorized it?
I don't, but I could look and let you know. So
I guess it's more of a general point. It would make me wonder why would we need a bill if they already have the authorization or the ability to prorate in regulation? They had to get that from somewhere.
Senator Donnelly.
I think the answer is their regulation doesn't make them do it. It just says they can do it.
Oh,
it suggests that they do it, and this is a mandate that, in fact, if they don't have the money to last for a full year, that they prorate.
Okay.
Other questions? Senator Green.
Yeah, Commissioner, I understand from a couple of phone calls I got that some people have received letters from either you or the department regarding the impact of the bill, particularly providers. Could we get a copy of that letter, please? Of those letters?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Other questions? Hearing none, thank you. Anybody else wish to testify on this bill tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Allison LG, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Administration. I wanted to speak again specifically to the impacts of longevity bonus. Our budget estimate for longevity bonus was built on a low-case scenario. The conference committee has chosen a number for longevity bonus that represents approximately a 5% reduction from that low-case scenario. So with passage of this legislation, we will be prorating longevity bonus checks beginning July 1. And in answer to your earlier question, Senator, the longevity bonus program at its high was $73 million. We are estimating full funding for longevity bonus next year at approximately 59.
Senator Parnell.
Allison, do you read this bill to mean that you must start prorating at the beginning of the fiscal year, even if we fully funded the request that was given us? And you're not in that case, but say another department. Do you read this to mean that the proration has to begin immediately at the beginning of the fiscal year, or do you think you have more flexibility than that with proration?
Through the chair, Senator Parnell, I believe that we need to operate on our best estimates for these programs. And if we were to have our estimate of full funding fully funded by the legislature, then I would say no. But where we presented our best estimate of what that would take and the legislature has reduced it, then I believe the answer is yes.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? There are none, thank you. Anybody else want to testify on this bill? Seeing none, Senator Parnell.
Chairman, I would move Senate CS for House Bill number 161 as amended from committee with individual recommendations.
Is there objection?
Object.
There is objection. Senator Adams.
Chairman, I didn't object to the committee substitute, but one of the things I think we should have done in this piece of legislation is look at on page 1, line 6, it's the benefit program, is we should have defined what it means in there. Does it mean that all formula or entitled programs are to be included in the word a benefit program? What happens when that Alaskans are legally entitled to benefits? You know, are we cutting them or prorating them that maybe they, the ones that are entitled to these programs, can put forth a class action lawsuit against the state of Alaska because they're legally entitled to those benefits? What happens when we lose that particular lawsuit? I think in the long run, this bill will cost us more money. We'll have to pay that particular benefit, plus we'll have to pay the associated legal costs that comes along with this, Mr. Chairman, and I think this bill needs more work, and I don't support it.
Other comments?
Mr. Chairman, just a clarification. As I understand this, if the appropriations for a specific program does not meet the demand, then they have to prorate it. Is that right? This is not a. It's based on the appropriation and not so much the program itself. I mean, I think the key, the senator from Kotzebue was emphasizing the benefit program, but it says there shall, if an appropriation made for a benefit program. And it seems to me that it's the appropriation that affects the benefit program, not the other way around. So am I reading this right? If we appropriate X amount of dollars, and if they run short or they project to be short, then they have to ration it for that specific appropriation to that particular program, right?
Boy, I read it too.
Me too.
I mean, it says, and let me just read it again, shall, if an appropriation made for a benefit program is not sufficient to fully fund all programs. I just want to make that clear in the record that if we as a legislature collectively appropriate X amount of dollars for a specific program and the projections don't meet that appropriation,
they shall prorate it for that particular appropriation towards that benefit program, and not, you know, whatever we appropriate for the specific benefit program.
Other comments?
Chairman.
Motion is, Senator Lehman.
I would just say that I believe this gives the administration a very valuable tool, and even though they testified their, with their apprehension about it, it seems to me that it would, you know, if I were administering a department, administering these programs, it would be a tool that I'd want in my toolbox. And I don't think it's always going to be used. It's not going to be used for every program, but it's something that would give the manager exactly what they would want so they can manage something in for a fiscal year. And I'm disappointed that they don't embrace it, or at least so far I haven't embraced it more willingly, because I think it's something that can be used very valuably, especially at a time when Alaska is facing the budget challenges that we are. I'd just like to see us have all the tools in our toolkit.
I'm going to point out, we did have one other testifier. I couldn't see her raise her hand back here. Would you remove your motion so I can allow her the opportunity to testify?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would move, and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw my motion to move this bill from committee.
Objection? Hearing none. You want to come up?
I'm Nani Pungawi, and I know it's very late and everyone is anxious to get home, but I'm a developmental disability specialist. I also have a child who's disabled, and I've testified before this committee before, so I'll try to make it brief. But one of the things that really concerns me as a developmental disability specialist and someone who has quite a bit of experience in counseling in this state is that by reducing benefits to people for early interventions, both in developmental disabilities, in substance abuse, in youth and family service programs, we, in the long run, we're being penny-wise and pound-foolish. We're, in the long run, going to have people longer on programs that are demanding of them, of the state, more finances. We'll have more severe problems to deal with over a longer period of time. Early intervention works. Early intervention really can save a lot of money for the state, and that concerns me a lot. Also, the vagueness of this bill really bothers me, because it doesn't specify which entitlement programs are going to be potentially prorated like this. It's the potential cuts to chronic illness assistance and different things like this, again, will end up, in the long run, costing the state more, I believe. And I think that one of the biggest concerns is that, you know, if we're really looking at balancing a budget, we don't want to put a Band-Aid on a hemorrhaging budget, so to speak. You know, we want to have a long-term plan here. And this feels to me very much short-term. It feels as if we are trying to, by reducing benefits of the people who can least afford the income to be cut, make a short-term saving, but not a long-term saving for the state.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairman, to clarify, yes, you're not interested.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, what I was going to try to say to you is, obviously you were concerned about DD's budget, right? Okay. If the legislature decides to fully fund that DD budget, as I read this, you will not receive a prorated reduction. It says if an appropriation is made for a specific program, we earmark each of these programs for certain dollars. If that particular program is short funded by us, it's through the appropriation, not through this bill. So if we say Division X gets X amount of dollars and happen to be shorter than they're projected, or short on the projected use of that money, then they have to proration it. So like in this case, I'll just use DD for an example. This legislature and the past legislatures have been generous in fully funding those requests. And I can't imagine the next year's legislature doing the same thing for this particular group of people. There may be some others that may get a short-funded or a short appropriation where they have to prorate it. But it says if an appropriation is made for a benefit program, the key is the appropriation. That's what triggers the proration. So I just don't have a fear here on this one.
Senator Phillips, also, you know, we were not provided tonight with the version H of the bill.
Yeah, I understand that, and that's why I'm trying to explain it to you now.
Right, and I understand that. But it the potential is still there. The potential, the way this bill is worded, is there for...
The potential's there every year.
We always know that.
I'm trying to educate.
Sorry,
no, this is education. It's not debate, Mr. Chairman.
But, yeah.
I'm not debating here.
And while developmental disabilities is a concern of mine based on my field, it's not my only concern. All the programs that impact children and youth in particular are concerns of mine. Child care assistance and substance abuse programs. And I see these all as potentially being cut.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Other discussion of the committee. Senator Parnell.
Chairman, I would move Senate CS 50 for House Bill number 161 as amended from committee with individual recommendation.
Object. I maintain my objection.
Objection is maintained. Roll call, please.
Senator Freeman?
Yes.
Senator Wilkins?
Yes.
Senator Adams?
No.
Senator Kelly?
Yes.
Senator Green?
Yes.
Senator Phillips?
Yes.
Senator Donnelly?
Yes.
Senator Parnell?
Yes.
Yes.
8-1.
So by an 8-1 vote, House Bill 161, as amended by the committee, is moved out with individual recommendations. Tomorrow's schedule, 9 a.m., we'll have the International Airport Revenue Bond, HB 84, HB 87, Unemployment Trust Fund, HB 227, Hatcher Pass Public Use Area, HB 231, Alaska Income Permanent Fund Finance Plan, and HB 151, Revocation of a Minor's Driver's License. Not necessarily in that order, but that's what's up.
8 o'clock.
Come before us.
8 o'clock tomorrow, right?
9 o'clock tomorrow.
9 o'clock.
Hearing none, we'll stand adjourned.